entering a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. The online leader in your resource for KU sports. Get the latest inside scoop on and off the record. John Kirby brings you the latest on football. Shay Wildeboer delivers the news on the hardwood. And Randy Withers is the jack of all trades. Now, here's the staff from JayhawkSlant.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Randy Withers. Thanks for joining us for this edition of the Jayhawk Slant podcast. After an extended spring break, we are back at it for the first time since basketball season and spring football came to an end at KU. And we've got some really good stuff lined up for you today. John Kirby, the man better known on the Slant message boards as JK, is here to talk Kansas football and recruiting. Shay Wildeboer will also join us. He has been busy covering Bill Self's basketball camp. He's going to break down the latest Jayhawk recruiting news and how the roster shapes up for next year after being in Lawrence most of last week. Let's welcome in the Slant staff now. John, it's good to have you with us. Has Coach Beatty been keeping you busy with all the recruiting news coming out of his program?
Yeah, these guys need to slow it down so we can enjoy our summer, right? I mean, these guys need to start understanding we need time off. No, it's been fun, but hey, listen, I'll tell you what, it's been so long since we've done one of these podcasts. I'm kind of embarrassed. I almost forgot how to use the recording equipment and set up the microphones and everything. But we gotta bring the people some more podcasts this summer. So hopefully this will be the start of getting back into a consistent groove.
I hope so. I mean, I'm not kidding. I had to literally dust off the mic. I mean, there was dust on the mic, and I was like, wow, that's never a good sign there.
Never.
Shay, it's good to have you with us, man. You ready to take a few minutes away from the baseball diamond and talk a little basketball?
I'm here and ready to roll, fellas. I didn't have to dust my mic off because I keep some Dawn all day long.
All right, well, let's get moving then. With the official start of the season getting a little bit closer every day, we're going to start on the football side. We're going to be joined by Kansas head football coach David Beatty. Coach Beatty is going to talk about the Jayhawks summer camps, his tour to meet with KU fans all over the country, and getting ready for the 2017 campaign. We'll also be joined by the Jayhawks' most recent commit, three-star defensive tackle Jonathan Lilahea, a junior college prospect from Mississippi who chose KU over a long list of other programs. So, Kirby, let's get right into this. This recruiting class is now rated 12th in the nation. If you pull up the Rivals team recruiting rankings, the Kansas Jayhawks are currently ahead of the likes of Michigan, Oklahoma, USC, Texas A&M. This is a brave new world David Beatty has all of us living in. Would you ever have predicted this?
No, Randy, I wouldn't have predicted it. I definitely wouldn't have bet on it. I wouldn't have predicted it. At the same time, I think the ceiling is there. If I wouldn't have doubted it. If someone would have told me, you know, this is what's going on and this is where they're going to be ranked, I wouldn't have just completely shut it down because I think the ceiling is high with David Beatty and the staff he's put together and their personalities and the way they recruit. I think those type of things line up right that gives them the ability to get the kind of class they're off to and getting some of the guys they've had in the last couple classes. So, you know, I wouldn't have doubted it, but I certainly would have if you would have told me, you know, back in January, hey, here in about a month, Kansas is going to go down to, you know, Louisiana and bring in some of the guys that they have. I would have said, yeah, I'm not seeing that. But, you know, again, the upside and the ceiling is there. So I'm not totally surprised, but at the same time, I wouldn't have sat there and predicted it either.
You wouldn't have predicted a five-star wide receiver is what you're telling me.
Well, hey, like you just said, you just rattled off some of the names. I think you said Michigan and Oklahoma and USC. Again, I wouldn't have sat here and thought in June that KU would be ahead of guys like that in the recruiting rankings either.
No doubt. The heat on the recruiting trail has just really continued, even this past weekend, with three more commitments, most of them on the defensive line. Tell us about these latest additions to the 2018 class, and what do you think about these guys, Kirby?
Well, you just mentioned Jonathan Lilahea, and you know, two teammates, actually, from Copiah Lincoln in Mississippi. Lilahea and Charles Cameron both committed, and I guess they kind of did it about the same time on Sunday. So Lilahea is, they're both defensive tackles, And I got to tell you, I can't imagine these two guys lining up inside on a junior college football team and having to be an offensive guard or a center and have to deal with these two guys. But Lola Hay is he's very athletic for, 300-pound guy. One of the things we'll talk about with him when he comes up on the show here in a little bit, if you go to his Twitter account and watch some of the videos of what he does with his agility and some of his explosiveness, what happened was is they ended up taping some of his workouts just out, in the grass field with the cones and the agility ladder. And I'll tell you what, it is impressive. It really is for a guy to move like that. And then when you watch Charles Cameron, who's going to line up right next to him, again, he's almost like a two-gap lineman. He lines up over the ball, and he really fights off double teams and makes a lot of plays in the defensive backfield. And both these guys had a lot of offers. So, this wasn't an easy deal. I did not think both of them would commit on their first visit. I didn't. I thought they'd take their visits. I thought Lola Hea would definitely visit Kansas State and TCU, and I thought Cameron was going to visit Louisville for sure. And who knows? I guess down the road those things could pop back up. You never know. But for now, that's not the plan, and they've committed to Kansas, and those are two really good gets from the junior college level. And then Josh Smith, who's a defensive lineman from Landry Walker. I think Kansas fans are starting to understand, Landry Walker's football program. They're in the state title game, and they win it, it seems like, every year. And Kansas has already had some good relationships built and some good players on campus already from Landry Walker. And I know Tony Hull's trying to build that relationship even more. I know the defensive coordinator from Landry Walker spoke at one of the KU clinics back in February. So they're doing what they can to keep those Louisiana relationships going. And, you get somebody like Josh Smith, and that just takes what they're doing there, and it makes it easier to get kids from Louisiana. Because the biggest thing, Randy, that people don't talk about in recruiting, players sell the program. Yes, coaches do the job of originally selling the program and getting the kids on campus. But those kids, when they get to campus, they listen to their host. They listen to the players around them. And you know what? Sometimes they hear bad vibes, and sometimes they don't, they don't like what they hear, and they decide that's not the school for them. But that's not the case with Kansas. The players do a great job. Everything seems positive around the program. And the more guys you get from Louisiana that tell more Louisiana recruits what it's like at Kansas, you're going to keep seeing that success rate go up. That's really my belief. And I'm going to jump away from the three commits, the question you asked, and I'm also going to add in Andrew Tovey, who is from Pima Community College.
Tell me about this kid.
Yeah, he's originally from Hawaii, and he is he's one of those road-grading offensive guards. He's 6'4", 330 pounds, very strong. He was committed at one time to Utah State. He still had an offer from them, had an offer from Fresno State. He told me he had an offer from San Diego State. And I know he told me that Arizona State, and Kansas State were all coming in to show some interest. He got a 4.0 last semester. He was a qualifier out of high school, so that gave him the ability to move on to a school. And I don't know if KU had the insight on that and others didn't, but obviously they knew he could get on campus. Right now, from what I gather, I haven't heard a lot about him, but just talking to him and just piecing some things together, I think he's right now a walk-on. So that's a huge get. I mean, he's going to be able to play this coming fall, and he's going to be in there competing for a starting job. I really believe that.
Have you ever seen a staff that has been as creative as this one has in finding guys, getting guys on campus? I mean, the job that this staff is doing of rebuilding this roster in the amount of time that they've done it is, I mean, for me, it's unprecedented. I haven't seen anything like this unless you're talking about using like free agency, literally, to rebuild a roster. I mean, you don't see this in college football.
No, you don't. I mean, Randy, there's a couple things, all right? I mean, number one, a lot of staffs don't have to do it, okay? So
true.
Kansas, in the situation that Beatty came in, I think there was a plan in place, and I think these guys knew what they're doing. But at the same time, it kind of goes back. Somebody asked me the other day about Mark Mangino. He used to find a lot of diamond in the roughs, and they would always recruit mm-hmm. kids that they felt they could get, not maybe the higher end kids that they weren't sure about. They spent their time more on guys that they felt were more safe. I think Beatty and his staff have kind of done an opposite of that. I think they're going after higher rated recruits that a lot of people wouldn't think Kansas could get. And at the same time, they're also finding guys. Hey, Mike Lee. Mike Lee came on campus. Nobody knew Mike Lee could get out of high school a year early, but the Kansas staff did. This Andrew Tovey is the same thing. And there's other players, Malik Clark, an offensive guard. You can keep going up and down the list. But I also think the Kansas coaches know they have to beat the bushes and they have to work. And they've got to find guys like that to get in the program because maybe they wouldn't be able to get them otherwise.
You know, it's you mentioned Mangino, and I it's interesting. One of my favorite parts of covering those teams under Mark Mangino was the first day of camp was standing there and looking around trying to figure out, okay, who did they sneak in that I haven't heard of? Who's here that we didn't know was coming? And for the first time really since Coach Mangino left Lawrence, we see that. You're always wondering who new was going to pop up today. Who are we going to hear about that we didn't know was available or what that this staff even had a connection to? You've been covering Jayhawks for a long time. I mean, do you get is that some of that same feeling there? Do you get that?
Yeah, I get a lot more feeling with this staff than Mangino's staff. I think Mangino's staff was a little bit more traditional. You know, they might have found an underrated guy here and there or a late JUCO guy, but I don't think they ever did anything like we're seeing now. I mean, these guys, I mean, this is creativity with a capital C. I mean, they're doing some things that I don't know has ever really been done in college football recruiting.
It's like you said, it was an unprecedented situation they found themselves in, which means sometimes you've got to do unprecedented things to get out of it. And I think that's exactly what we're seeing. You know, our timing talking about these newcomers and some of these big commits is really good, Kirby. Jonathan Lillehea is on the line right now. I'm going to turn it over to you for the interview with the big defensive tackle and future Kansas Jayhawk.
Well, we are joined by Jonathan Lillehea here, who is the latest commitment to the Jayhawks 2018 class. Jonathan, how you doing today?
Doing great. Love.
Hey, take us back on your official visit. You know, what stood out to you the most?
And if I just put a finger on it, I would just Coach Beatty, the head coach, being such a great, like, host of just, like, he came with us everywhere we went, and I thought that was pretty cool because most schools wouldn't do that, have their head coach go around and do all these activities with you. But overall, the atmosphere was great. The coaches felt really genuine. That really stood out to me the most. And just, like, the players, what they had to say about the school, good things. If it could go anywhere else, they would still be at Kansas. So that shows a lot.
You know, on the visit, there's a special visitor, and your mom made the trip from Hawaii. You know, talk about what it meant for you to have her there, and what did she think of the visit?
Man, well, she came in to the visit thinking it's just going to be another school, but she left. She loved it. It broke her standards and all. It just, she was really happy about it, and she's happy with my decision. And she's going with it.
On the visit, at what point or what was there a certain time that made you say, all right, I'm going to give them my commitment. I'm ready to do this.
Well, it was actually before I went there on the visit. I felt like, man, this is a school. I probably wanted to take them first. I mean, it was just, I always had a lot of them. I felt the love really from a bunch of the coaches, and I could just feel the genuineness. And but really, what struck me the most is I think on the last day of my trip, we went to like the lake. I don't know where that is, but it's in Lawrence, and we went to a lake, and then me. And Charles, and then we went with Coach Beatty and Troy Kimmel. And what they did, like, they just hung out with us, and it was just, I could see that that's who they really are, like, you know. So I just fully bought in, like, that's someone I want to play for. And
hey, the last thing I have for you, Jonathan, is you've got some wild YouTube videos or some videos that are posted on your Twitter account of you doing your workouts and your agility. And I mean, there aren't many guys your size that move like you do. You know, what kind of possessed you to get in and posting those things and show everybody what you can do?
I mean, shoot. I thought it was just normal, like the things I did. But a lot of people are like I had a coach. He trains with I guess the Oregon opening. He does all the training for them. David Comolani. He was amazed about how fast I can move at my size, being like 305, running a 487 consistently, being able to like move side to side, change the direction good. I mean, everyone's going crazy about it, but to me, it was just regular, like just normal for me.
Well, if you've been following recruiting for a long time, being 305 and running a 487, that's not usually normal.
Yeah. I realized that once I actually clocked it, I was like, that's actually pretty cool. So I told someone to record it next time, and then, yeah.
Awesome stuff. Hey, Jonathan, thank you very much for joining us on the podcast here, and we look forward to talking to you in the future.
All right, for sure. Appreciate it.
All right, bye-bye.
God bless. Bye.
Kirby, we're going to break down the roster later this summer, so sticking with recruiting, you know, we've talked about Lo Lahea. We talked about the three commits last weekend. Other than those guys, I mean, what has really caught your eye most about this 2018 class so far?
Well, I would say number one is obviously the New Orleans / Louisiana guys that Tony Hole's been able to either get in visits, have them here and committed. That's one thing that stands out. I mean, you know, this is still a new area for Kansas and what he's doing down there. Obviously, it's been talked about, you know, the raise that Tony Hole got, and I'm sure that was to keep him on staff and secure him in place. And hey, listen, he's earned it. I know there are probably a lot of people going, wow, $400,000 is a lot of money. Well, what Tony Hole's doing right now is probably worth every penny and then some for what the type of, type of recruits he's bringing in. Something else that caught my attention, obviously, right now, having a top 15 class, like we just talked about earlier, I wouldn't have expected that back in January. And probably the other thing that stands out is local recruiting. I think they've done a good job with some of the guys locally here. And I think that the Kansas Blast, and I think that the relationships they've built, they had 1,100 kids on campus last week in their team camp. And I think they've done a lot of things that they've started to earn some trust with some of the local high school coaches. So those are probably a few things that stand out.
With that in mind, where do you think the Jayhawks go from here? What are some of the key positions Coach Beatty is going to look to address, in your opinion, as the Kansas staff moves forward? And how many kids overall do you think they can take in this class?
Well, you know, the new rules are in. So, I mean, they're going to take 25, Randy. But again, it's unpredictable right now because I don't think we know how they're going to get to 25. I mean, if you look at last year's class, I think there were 7 or 8 kids that counted toward last year's numbers. So I think one of the things we've got to do right now is be patient when we follow the class and start waiting down the road to see how many of these guys that possibly are on campus now are going to report who may come off the 2018 numbers. Last year, I think it was 7 or 8 guys that counted. So technically, they took 25, but 7 or 8 of those guys had already reported. So the big question is going to be, how many guys are on campus now who are going to report in July or August that may come off those numbers? So, you know, they'll take 25. The question is how many are really going to be true signees and how many possibly got on campus early?
You talk about the 25 and who, where they might go. If you had to throw out a few names to watch that are still on the board, who are you focusing on at this point?
Well, right now I'm kind of watching the defensive line because there were 3 guys that I really thought that Kansas set in good shape with. Taj Brown is one of them out of Louisiana. And last night he just committed to Houston. So, you know, last week he told me he was planned on visiting Kansas. So I'm wondering now, with 6 defensive line commits, counting D-tackles or D-linemen or D-ends, however you want to group them in, part of me is wondering, okay, is 6 the magic number? Are they there and they're done now? Or will they take a 7th? Will they, you know, try to bring somebody in on the infamous blue shirt plan. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting that Brown was planning to visit, and all of a sudden he committed to Houston last night. Another guy I'm looking at, Gavin McCabe out of Marist in Chicago. His teammate Robert Topps is on campus right now.
Yeah.
I know Clint Bowen's been high on him. He's a defensive tackle, so I think we'll need to keep an eye on him. And then Keemon Smith, another defensive lineman out of Louisiana, I think he was planning at visiting at the end of this month. So those are three defensive linemen. I've always felt pretty good that Kansas stands with them. But the question could be, is the Kansas staff now reaching out to these guys and saying, hey, we're filled up. You guys might want to start looking somewhere else, or, hey, we'll keep recruiting you, but you can't commit right now. I don't know that situation, but I think it's something to watch. Outside of those D linemen, Ryan Marlboro from Cecilia, Louisiana, another Tony Hole guy. You know, he's listed as an outside linebacker. I think his film to me right now screams a big safety, a big athletic safety. And I think that's where the staff's looking at him as right now. I think he's going to visit sometime this month. Nick Williams, an offensive lineman out of St. Louis. He's got that 6'7", 6'8", lean frame that Zach Yenzer seems to like in all of his offensive line or his offensive tackle recruits. I know Williams told me he's going to visit Illinois soon, but he was very impressed with Kansas. I could possibly see this shaping up to be a Jayhawk Illini battle down to the end. So that's one to watch. Christian Young, a cornerback from Richmond, Texas. I know he's visiting Iowa State this weekend, but I've always got the feel that Kansas would be in his top three or top four. He's a talented cover corner. A new name that I just started tracking here in the last 24 to 48 hours, Liam Douglas, an offensive lineman from North Hollywood, California. Again, 6'6", 6'5", 250. He fits that mold that Yenzer always looks for. I also think there are some ties back when Yenzer was at Cal to that high school or that high school coach. So I think the Jayhawks may have a little bit of an in there. There's a long way to go in his recruiting. And, hey, listen, I'm going to throw this one in there. I'm going to go ahead. When you ask me about the top targets, I'm going to throw in Kelvin Joseph, okay? I mean, from Baton Rouge. I mean, the kid's committed to LSU. You know, Mike Scarborough, who runs our LSU site, just said, you know, he's one of the top three commitments right now to LSU. So think about that, Randy. A kid from Baton Rouge committed to LSU was on campus visiting Kansas over the weekend. I mean, again,
how did they even get him to Lawrence in that kind of a situation?
Well, it's Tony Hole. It's a simple deal. It's Tony Hole. And, you know, again, I mean, people, it was funny reading the LSU message board because there are people on there going, what in the world is Kansas doing? How are they getting one of our top commitments from our hometown to Lawrence to visit? What's going on here? So I'm going to go ahead and throw Joseph in that top target guys to watch. Now, for him to decommit from his hometown school and go to Kansas, I still think a lot of work would have to be done. But hey, the kid went on the visit, and actually I think he might have even stayed an extra night. So we're going to add him to the list.
That's wow. If this staff could add a few of those guys, It would just add to the excitement that the Jayhawks are building this offseason that is just seeming to gather like wildfire at this point. Now, our next guest, you know, he might get a little fired up too. Joining us now to talk with Kirby, Kansas head football coach David Beatty.
Hey, everybody. We got a special guest once again joining us. We're going to welcome in Kansas head football coach David Beatty. Coach, how you doing?
Doing good, Kirby, man. Appreciate you having me on.
You bet. Hey, listen, last time, you know, I think we've had a chance to talk to you. Spring football had ended, and you guys sent your coaches out to go recruiting. And I know you went all over the country to talk to Kansas fans. And I'm curious just to get your take on what that was like and the vibe you get and the relationships you meet out there with the fans on the road.
Well, you know, that's one of the funnest times of the year for me, obviously, because I get to go out and spend, you know, some time with some of the greatest people on the planet here, which is these Jayhawks. And, you know, the great thing is that every place that we went to, they showed up by the droves. And, you know, it's one of those deals that I know a lot of people that follow our program, you know, are interested in, you know, who was there and all the things that go along with it. And people like to say, you know, some people that don't like our program don't, they want to make it out that there's not many people that were there, where, well, the truth was that it was standing room only at just about every one of them. And I think that's what makes this place so great, is they care about this program so much. And, you know, we feel like it's one of the funnest times of the year because we get to meet so many wonderful people. And we get to kind of get to bring them up to speed on what's going on with the program, and it matters to them. So, you know, for us, we really feel fortunate and blessed to be here and to be able to get out and about and to go spend some time with our stakeholders.
You know, this year, Coach, camp season got cut down to 10 days. And I know you guys had a team camp on campus where I heard somewhere over, you know, well over 1,000 kids. And then you guys went out on the road to do some recruiting. I was just wanting to know, you know, if you can talk about what it was like to get out and see some guys there on campus and then out further away from campus and how that went.
You know, every year that we've been here, we've conducted a couple things that have become traditions for us. You know, one of which is a thing that we call the Kansas Blast that we do when we start our recruiting in the spring. And we hit literally every door of every high school in the state of Kansas. And a lot of times we go into high schools that don't even play football. And, you know, it's become kind of a thing where, you know, we kind of have people looking forward to our guys coming in there and their opportunity to get to meet, you know, maybe a coach or two that they didn't know before and getting connected to our program. And then it kind of leads right into you know, that camp season that you talked about. And we're really excited about how much that's grown. You know, Gene Weir, the Kansas great high school coach that's been here. I mean, this guy's, he's won more championships than most of us will ever even see. And it's just so well respected throughout this state. He's done such a great job of building our high school team camp, where we're actually able to evaluate over 1,200 kids in full live contact with some of the classiest, best football coaches in the country from all these high schools that come around here. So, you know, we utilize that as time to be able to get to know these coaches and players better, obviously, and to be able to evaluate them. But we share ideas with those coaches when they're here. And that was a lot of fun. And then, you know, then this year we did something a little different with the rules changing. You know, we kind of hit a camp circuit tour with Adidas. And what we did was we partnered with all of the Adidas schools throughout the country. And it took a shared vision by Adidas schools to understand the value of it. But we partnered with all the major Adidas schools, and we actually had a camp tour. And, you know, we started that camp tour down in Texas. We were at Texas A&M, where we saw, in two sessions, we saw over 3,000 players. Then we flew from there the next day to Atlanta, and in two sessions, we saw over 2,500 players. And then the next day we flew to Florida, South Florida, and at FIU and Florida Atlantic, we saw almost 3,000 players at those two camps. And, you know, that was a valuable, valuable tool for us and all of those Adidas schools that were there. And it took, you know, a lot of selfless guys to realize that, you know, we've got a chance here to really kind of corner a market if we just band together as a logo. And it was really, really beneficial, I think, to all of us. And, you know, we're going to be hosting a JUCO version of that camp and the Adidas tour here, you know, on the 26th of July. And then we'll go from there on the 23rd to Mississippi State, and we'll go visit their JUCOs, and they're all going to convene right there at Mississippi State. So we feel like we've had a pretty good plan amongst our Adidas schools to put together some really good opportunities to see a ton of talent. And I tell you what, we've only had 10 days to do it, but I'll tell you this, we're really pleased with the amount of people that we've seen. And I'm really excited about moving forward with that kind of a profile, because it's really been beneficial, because we've seen way more kids than we ever did before.
You know, in the spring, I want to say just before spring football, you had a chance to hire Zach Woodfin as your strength and conditioning coach. And now you've had all spring and now the beginning of summer in the off season. You know, I was just wanting to know if you could talk about having Woodfin there on campus and what he's brought to the program.
Well, I tell you what, it's one of those things when you hire guys that, you know, you don't make a big practice of walking around and asking people, hey, what do you think? And the great thing is that when guys just articulate that to you when they're walking down the hallway or they're walking past you in your office, or, you know, when coaches are coming up to you and they're saying, Coach, this guy's really good. I mean, let me tell you what I saw him doing today with our guys. Let me talk to you about what he was doing with the extracted movements that he was involved in this morning with how to come to balance in space. I mean, for guys to come and talk to you about that stuff and how excited they are in their voice because of what he's being able to do with our kids. And then to hear one by one our kids come by and talk about how much of a difference he has made already with the technique that he uses and he employs, how much he teaches the actual technique involved in these lifts, and then also the functional movement that goes on within football. You know, we had a terrific strength coach here in Janae Jackson. Man, we thank him for everything he did. And, it, you know, I always say it's funny how God works because he sends you the right man at the right time. And Zach has done nothing but just impress everybody around our place with his work ethic, the staff that he's brought in, and really the functional training that he's done. Our kids are impressed. They all are bought in. And I just think he's been a great addition to our staff.
You and I have talked in the past, and I know your philosophy and the way you do it is you stay off a lot of the internet, and you don't read people's opinions and things like that. Hey, which is probably a great thing. But, you know, at some time, I know you've had to walk around town or when you're out visiting KU groups. Right now, your recruiting class is 12th in the country. And I know some people would say, hey, that's just a computer ranking. It doesn't mean a lot. But, I mean, at some point, it does, too, especially with what you're doing and the way you're building the program. You got to shoot me straight. You've had to have some people come up and at least talk to you about the recruiting success early on.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that has been really cool is to see the momentum that has been created by our staff and how it has really made a difference in our Jayhawk community in terms of our fan base. And you hit it on the head. I mean, I don't have to read anything because when I meet people, and I make a common practice of going to the grocery store on my own. I make a common practice of going to Walmart on my own because it's an opportunity for me, number one, to help my wife out and my family out and not have them have to do all those chores. But I get to meet more Jayhawks that way. And one of the things that is a great topic right now is the recruiting momentum that we have going. And obviously, I can't talk about people individually. That's against the NCAA rules. But when you talk about your recruiting philosophy and people see the plan that we've laid out and how we're trying to execute that plan, I think they just appreciate the hard work that this staff is doing. You're only as good as the sum of your parts. And we have some unbelievably talented men here, and I got to take my hat off to our athletic director, Dr. Zinger, because he gets it, and he really understands the value of these guys. And we did nothing but add to that with Zach Woodfin and then Doug Meacham. I mean, Doug Meacham, hey, listen, if you can't beat him, you hire him, and I could never beat him on the recruiting trail, so I hired him. I mean, I'm not very smart, but I'm country smart, and if I can't beat the guy, I'm going to hire him. And he's been nothing but good for us from this point forward. Kenny Perry has been phenomenal running our recruiting office. And, you know, I'm not sure where we're at. All I know is that we're going to continue to recruit one day at a time. You know, we know this. We would rather have them than not have them. And we have them committed now. Now it's our turn. It's our opportunity to see how talented we are as men when it comes to developing these relationships that make these kids understand that this is the right place for them. So, you know, and that's not very hard because we've got an unbelievable product to sell here. Just being a Jayhawk alone is extremely powerful, and we're excited about it moving forward.
This morning I saw you put something out on Twitter that said 80 days until the start of the season. So it's been good talking to you. It's going fast, and, you know, that beginning of the season is going to be here pretty quick.
Yeah, Will, man. We can't wait to get back on the field. We felt like we ended the year with some really good momentum. Our guys, you know, they're almost frothing in the mouth to try to get back out there and get them pads. And I think they see great things coming in their future. And, you know, I've said this before. The greatest thing about our team right now is the guys on it. These guys are committed. They're bought into the vision. They've been here for 3 years, and those babies are growing up. And, you know, the great thing is some of the league has graduated. So, and our guys are here, and we return guys. So the shoe kind of flips over a little bit now to where we're kind of in a situation where we've got some returning players that we didn't have before, equals some, you know, some experience that you can't give them. And, you know, we have reason to believe that we've got a chance to be a pretty good football team this year, and I know our guys are excited about it coming up.
Coach, hey, I know you're a busy man. I really appreciate you taking some time out and joining us, and thank you very much.
Appreciate you, Kirby. Rock chalk, bud.
You can just hear the excitement in Coach Beatty's voice and tell just how ready that man is to start the season, like so many fans are at this point. A lot of our posters on the football board are just as hyped as Coach, and they've got plenty of questions. So let's get into some of the message board Q&A here. Kirby, first off, let's go to Dahlman, who asked, when David Beatty was hired, where did you expect KU to be program-wise going into year three? Are you surprised or not by what has taken place so far under this man's leadership?
Well, we touched on this a little earlier, Randy. I am surprised. I'm not shocked. It's obvious to me now, and I think most people that have followed Kansas football recruiting, Beatty has built this roster much faster than I thought he would. And obviously there was a plan. I mean, he knew he came in with some type of plan, whether it was to get some of these kids that counted forward, which gets him on campus early. But the roster numbers have been built up so much faster than I would have ever expected. So, you know, obviously now you got to turn that into some wins. But, you know, when you asked about, you know, am I surprised under his leadership a little bit? But do I think this is where I expected KU program-wise? No. They're ahead of where I expected, just mainly because of the depth and the amount of players that they have on campus.
Okay. Next one is from JJ Jayhawk. How many more in defensive linemen do you think we will take in this class?
Well, we're going to have to watch that D-line situation. They could be done. Maybe they take one more. Maybe they make it a special situation. But, you know, my guess is maximum possibly one more, and possibly they could be done. Offensive line, you know, they've stacked up on some offensive linemen in these last two classes. So I could see room for about maybe two more offensive linemen, and I think that'll wrap it up with the O-line in that class.
Okay, let's see. This one's from Eshian. It's a three-part question, as he puts in parentheses. First off, do you think this level of recruiting is sustainable? Does winning enough games this year hinge on that sustainability? And finally, do you think this recruiting is something we could pull off in another state?
Yes, I think the level of recruiting is sustainable. And I say that because look at what they're doing now. I mean, this is in reality, it's a 2-10 program. Okay, now there's momentum. They were competitive with K-State. They had Iowa State down in the fourth quarter. They beat Texas. So they showed some signs at the end of the season of being able to win and compete in Big 12 football games. Then you add the recruiting, what they've done so far in the 2018 class. And I would say, yes, it's sustainable because they're doing it, in my opinion, with lower level success at 2-10. So what happens when they're 6-6? What happens if they get to 7-5? Now you start wondering, hey, the ceiling starts going up. Does winning games have an impact on that? It very well could. Some of these high four-star and five-star guys that they've got committed now, hey, they could be waiting till September and waiting to see what Kansas puts on the field. And if there's improvement, maybe they stick. If there's not improvement, maybe they open it up. Those kind of guys, it's always open for discussion. Hey, I've watched it with Florida State and Alabama. Those guys have four and five-star kids committed all the time who flip on them. So it can happen to anybody. I think you said, can they sustain this in another state? Or can they do something like this in another state? Well, they've got to find a connection, okay? I mean, you know, when David Beatty came in, Texas was the state. I mean, you had Kenny Perry, you had other guys, you know, Joe DeForest joined the program, Todd Bradford joined the program, Garrett Riley's from Texas. I mean, you got guys with some Texas ties. But I think it's interesting that a little bit of the Texas recruiting has slowed down, and a large part of that's because of Tony Hull, and he got him into the state of Louisiana. Now, the question is, could they do it in another state? You'd have to hire somebody with a specific connection, I really believe, like a Tony Hull, who's a former high school coach that's well-known, or maybe a former college recruiter from a certain state who has a lot of ties to where he could walk in high schools or junior colleges right now and get those type of guys.
That's some great stuff from the football side. Thanks to our guests, David Beatty and Jonathan Lolahea. Oh, you know, Kirby, you did okay too.
Hey, I appreciate that.
All right, now we move on to Kansas basketball, where Shea has been logging plenty of miles on K-10, heading back and forth to Lawrence this past week. Shea, you had a chance to watch the team a lot, obviously. Graham is back. Svi is back. Azubuike is finally looking like he's healthy after injuring his wrist and having to have surgery early last season. What's your early take on how the team and the roster looks heading into the 2017-2018 season?
Well, you know, Randy, at some point you've got to think, or you have to believe, that this team is going to take a step back or you know, go through some ups and downs. And I just don't know when or how that's going to happen with the talent that Coach Self has coming back once again. You know, it's two scrimmages, you know, and back-to-back Wednesdays. But, I mean, my goodness, Devontae Graham has looked like a star. Malik Newman has looked like an absolute stud. He's even exceeded my expectations. And I really thought going in that he could have a big-time year, and my expectations have only increased. I mean, you know, Big Doak Azubuike is just a man-child in the paint. If he can stay healthy, you know, if he can continue to progress at the level that he has so far, I mean, this team is going to be really, really, really good. Svi's not in town. He's out this summer. But it's a team. Everywhere you look, there's talent. I mean, Mitch Lightfoot yesterday looked like a player that I didn't expect to see, you know, at this time in his career. I mean, he just looked like a guy that's ready to come in, make an impact, look a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger. And, you know, he just looks like a guy that's ready to come in and play a role.
Shea, something that I'm really curious about, what are some of the things that you think this team could present in 2017-2018 because of the, not just the talent, but like you said, so many different ways that they can roll out and attack the opposition. What do you like about this squad heading into next year?
Well, you look back to last year and you say there's no way that they're going to be as good in the backcourt. And you lose Frank Mason, and I don't think they will be as good, but I think they can be right there. I mean, you know, you look at Devontae Graham, Sr. You know, you've got LeGerald Vick, Jr. You've got Sviatoslav Mihailuk, Sr. And then you throw in transfers, you know, Malik Newman, Sam Cunliffe. And then, you know, you got a freshman in Marcus Garrett. I mean, that's a nasty perimeter. I mean, those are some guys that can get the ball, you know, on the perimeter and score, stretch the defense. It's guys that can score, you know, mid-range game. You know, you guys that can attack the basket, score at all three levels. And then you throw in a guy like Billy Preston, who yesterday really looked like the Billy Preston I expected to see, was aggressive, confident. You know, again, like I mentioned, you throw in Mitch Lightfoot. You throw in Udoka Azubuike. Obviously, they won't be – you know, last year they had some guys like Landon Lucas that provided a lot of leadership. They're not going to have him this year. You know, you lost Doak after 11 games. You know, Colby had his moments. So you don't have the experience that you had last year down low, but you've certainly got a ton of talent. I hate to use the word potential, but I'm going to, because you still don't know what's going to happen with Billy. You don't know what's going to happen with Mitch. You know, you don't know what's going to happen with Doak. You know, I need to throw in Jack Whitman and the transfer from William and Mary.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at it, you look at the perimeter, you look down low, and on paper, or at least in my eyes, you say, where's the weakness? I mean, you know, how are you going to attack Kansas? You know, you throw them a zone, you know, you play man-to-man, you try to throw some junk defenses at them, and everywhere you go, they have an answer. And to me, the big thing for this team will be the play of Udoka Azubuike. He's a man-child. He's, you know, I asked Mitch Lightfoot yesterday, how do you stop Udoka? 7 foot, you know, 279. And he said, you know, you've got five fouls, you got to use them. And to me, I don't know how, aside from the fouling, how you stop that man. I don't know of anybody else off the top of my head that has the size and the strength. You know, he's still young. He's still got a lot of growing to do as far as on the basketball court, but all the tools are in place. And if you have the tools, you have the height, the athleticism, the skill, the want-to, you've got a recipe for disaster. And that's certainly what Kansas has in Udoka.
You know, one of the things that I think is interesting is the way that Coach Self, in roughly a week, set up his 2018 roster after many of us were wondering just what exactly he was going to do. You know, it came out of nowhere when the news broke of the Lawsons coming to KU and later on when Charlie Moore decided to come from Cal. Taking those guys and putting around a player like Udoka, like you talked about, what do you like about the Lawsons and Moore, and what will they bring to this program?
I think, you know, obviously Moore's a Chicago kid, tough. He's small. He's going to draw some comparisons to, you know, probably Sharon or Frank. You know, just watching him yesterday, so smooth with the basketball. Gets up and down the court, looks to make good decisions. You know, he hit some shots from behind the arc, got to the basket. You know, I really, you know, the thing I loved about Frank Mason, I guess, you know, he had the pit bull mentality, got to the basket, was just a born leader, a guy that just refused to lose. And I'm hoping that, you know, Charlie can take on, you know, at least some of that role, just a guy that doesn't have a lot of size but has the heart of a giant, you know, loves to play, is extremely competitive, going to play for Team USA here and try out there. His all-around game, I just love it. And the Lawson twins, or they're the Lawson brothers, again, size, averaged a double-double or close to it in Memphis. Diedrich possibly could have gone to the NBA this year and tested, you know, close to 20 and, I don't know, 12 or 13 points. Again, guys got to sit out a year, going to get a little bit stronger, going to help on the practice court. I'm going to, you know, become a little bit familiar with the program. But when their number's called, I expect them to step in and play right away. And again, you know, a lot of people talk about the transfers and they wonder if this is a trend. And to me, I don't necessarily see it as a trend. A couple things here. When you recruited at such a high level like Kansas, you know, they missed out on some guys. Trey Young stayed home. Colin Sexton, obviously, the draw to play close to home. You know, Duvall got that offer from Duke. And so when that stuff like that happens, you have to be able to slide in the pieces. And they've obviously done that with Charlie Moore. You know, they missed out on some guys in the back or in the front court. And they obviously were able to place those guys with the Lawson brothers. So I expect those guys to step in right away and be immediate impact players after their redshirt seasons.
Now, the summer means coaches are on the road recruiting. Who are some of the prospects that people can keep a close eye on this summer that are on Coach Self's radar for the Jayhawks?
Definitely a guy you want to pay attention to is Marvin Bagley III from Chatsworth, California, number one ranked player in the class, 6'10", 220. He's got a short list that includes Kansas. You know, a lot of people this time of year, I think a lot of people, Randy, and I hate to say this because I think it's just a natural feeling sometimes when you're one of the top programs in America.
Yeah.
They get a sense of – sometimes fans get a sense of, well, he's not coming to Kansas. You saw it with Josh Jackson. You know, you saw it with Andrew Wiggins. And I think a lot of that stems from, you know, Caleb Tarzewski and a couple other guys that were almost near locks. And for one reason or another, it just didn't work out. Well, I think with Marvin Bagley, I think it's a guy that Curtis Townsend has spent a lot of time recruiting, West Coast kid, and I think he is a serious player for Kansas. I think he's extremely interested. You know, the key is obviously getting him on campus, getting him a feel for the program. You know, I don't know if late night in the fog, that's always a big draw, or if maybe they'll try to get him out here a weekend alone. That's also kind of been a popular thing to do with this staff, but that's a guy you definitely want to keep an eye on. Another guy, the number two player in America, Zion Williamson. A lot of people aren't talking Kansas with him, but I think the Jayhawks are in really good shape. And if you haven't seen him, I suggest all Kansas fans YouTube him or head over to our player profile, Dunking Machine. I mean, I know Dr. Dunkenstein has already been coined, but I mean, this kid can fly. I mean, listen, he has. I think Drake even like got his own Zion Williamson homemade jersey and was like at a game. I mean, this kid is nasty on the court. He's young, but he can fill it up. You know,
of the names you mentioned, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, there's a Emmanuel Quickley, a 5-star point guard, a Javonte Smart, number 11 player in America. I think he's down to 6 or 7 from Louisiana. You know, Quentin Grimes, who's from the Woodlands, Texas, who's another guy that really likes KU. Emmett Williams, a 5-star big man. I mean, so again, they positioned themselves early on extremely well with a lot of high major elite guys, guys that can step in right away. Obviously with Devontae leaving, you're going to want to address that. I mean, he's going to be a guy that's going to end up a 3-year starter, a guy that's going to bring a ton of leadership this year and a guy really kind of like Frank Mason last year, that's going to be difficult to replace. You never know what's going to happen with Malik Newman. I mean, if he plays the way he plays in the scrimmages this year, bye-bye, Malik. It was good seeing you. Thanks for the year. You know, you never know what's going to happen with LeGerald. You know, Svi's obviously going to be gone. That leaves Marcus Garrett. So you need to address the guard situation, but you have Charlie Moore. I know that, but you know, you probably want to get maybe a bigger guard, you know, a guy that can play the one or the two. And certainly Kansas has addressed early on in the recruiting game, those guys. And so right now they've got a ton of options and a ton of guys interested.
You talk about a lot of big names. Of the names that you mentioned, are there one or two, Shay, that you have a particularly good feeling about?
Well, I think Marvin Bagley is a guy. Again, I know people on the outside might not see it, but I think that Kansas has really, really got a good shot with him. Javonte Smart, who I mentioned, a really, really, really talented guard. You know, Quentin Grimes is a guy that has been really, really high on Kansas. Emmanuel Quickley, who's another kid that recently trimmed his list. I think he's down to four. As a matter of fact, we've got an update on the front of the site now where he kind of breaks down his top four, speaks very highly of Kansas. You know, Emmett Williams is another guy that doesn't talk, a five-star big man, much about, you know, his recruitment teams involved. But I know that's a guy that Kansas has really expressed a lot of interest in, and he feels mutual. David McCormick, a kid from Oak Hill Academy, who, you know, Billy Preston teammate last year, is a guy you're going to want to keep your eye on. Duke, I mean, all the heavy hitters are involved. So those are just some of the guys. And as the summer goes on, other guys are – there's another – as a matter of fact, there's another guard from Morgan Park in Chicago, knows Charlie Moore. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce his name, A.O. something rather, something else. But again, a guy that could step in and have an impact right away. So, you know, those are just some of the guys. But as I was going to say, as the summer goes on, you're going to see new guys emerge, guys that maybe didn't make a name for themselves in the spring, or maybe they made a name for themselves. And, you know, our evaluators want to see, when I say our evaluators, guys like Eric and Corey, you know, want to see if they make the jump from spring to summer, they could rise up and, you know, nab a five-star. So, yeah, I mean, right now there's a ton of guys, and Kansas certainly has a ton of options.
What about Dr. Duncanstein?
Ooh, you know, that's going to be a tough one. I mean, Zion is a guy that, you know, I know a lot of people think Kentucky. If they can, again, the key, and I hate to say this, the key is you got to get him on campus. You got to, you know, show him what Kansas is all about. Get him in for a game. Show him the atmosphere. I mean, the thing about people – a lot of people don't know a lot about Kansas. They think Flint Hills, they think Flatlands. But once you get them on campus, you show them the love, you show them the atmosphere. I'll never forget Russell Robinson from a quick story from a New York Rice High School. He came for his visit, not knowing what to expect, not knowing anything about Kansas. That Saturday of his visit, Kansas beat Missouri, and he left his host, jumped down on the field, and helped carry the goalpost to, I think, Potter Lake. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
And I'll never forget, he called me that next Monday from Rice High School to tell me he had committed. And just the family atmosphere, the love, the admiration that the fans have for the players, that's something that you can't duplicate. I mean, that's something that it's not fake. It's real. It's genuine. It's sincere. And, I mean, I don't think anybody does it better than Kansas. But the key is obviously getting these guys on campus. You can see it on TV. You can hear coaches talk about it. You can hear fans talk about it. You can, you know, turn on the TVs and hear guys like Jay Billis talk about Allen Fieldhouse and how mythical it is and the tradition and history. But until you see it firsthand, you just don't know. So, you know, getting a guy like him on campus, or a Romeo Langford on campus, or, you know, Javonte Smart on campus, until that happens, it's hard to really explain to these kids what it's all about. So, you know, I think they've got a shot for Zion. I think it's going to take a lot of work, but the first step is obviously getting him on campus, showing him what the basketball tradition here at Kansas is all about, and then roll the dice and see what happens.
All right, Shay, Kirby went first. Now it's going to be your turn. We're going to dig into some of the questions that people have posted over on the Allen Fieldhouse slant side of the boards. From Fog08, has there been an intentional shift in recruiting amongst the staff to target transfers year in and year out, or have the last 2 years been a coincidence? That's a question I wanted to ask as well.
No, just a coincidence. Listen, when you have a guy like Malik Newman, who Kansas was very involved in the first time, pop up, you can't do anything but take him if he's interested in coming. You get guys like the Lawson twins, one of them being, you know, a potential lottery pick. The other one, a future pro, you have to take him. When you get a guy like Charlie Moore, who can certainly come in, take a redshirt year, and have a big-time impact on your program, you have to take him. And when you, again, and listen, there's not a staff in America that works as hard. I'm not saying that there aren't other stabs that work like Kansas does, but I don't think there's anybody out there that works as hard as Kansas or outworks them. But you're going to miss guys. I mean, things in life happen. There's reasons guys, they either want to play close to home, or it's a system thing, or, you know, they want to put up 20, whatever it is. But if you miss those guys and you have an opportunity to bring in guys that can have a similar type impact, even though it's a year away, you have to take them. You know, the one thing I like about Coach Elsa is he always says, I'm going to do what's best for this program. And the Lawson brothers and Charlie Moore and Malik Newman, you know, those guys I expect all to have big-time impacts on the program. And even a guy like Jack Whitman, obviously, I mean, I don't think he's going to be a 25, 30-minute game, you know, a night guy or a guy that comes in and just kills it, but I think he's going to be able to come in certain situations and provide Kansas with some quality minutes. I mean, he's a big guy. He's got experience. I mean, North Carolina was involved. It's not like he's just some guy they're burning off the streets. I mean, this is a guy that should come in and play, you know, at least 10, 11, 12, maybe more minutes a game. And when you got a chance to make your program better, you have to do it regardless of the circumstances. And, you know, I don't expect this to become a trend because you need program guys. You need guys like Frank Mason. You know, the one thing I love about Frank is during an interview, I think, earlier in the week with Denver, the coaching staff or the administration of the Denver Nuggets asked him, hey, if you could play anywhere next year, where would it be? And he said, Frank said, Lawrence, Kansas. You know, you need guys like that. But you also need guys, you need the one-and-done guys, and you need the guys that can come in, sit out for a year, help you get better on the practice court, and then, you know, buy their time, and then when you get guys to graduate and their turns to step up, and, you know, they've got a little experience, they've got time in the program, and should be able to slide in kind of right away like Malik and Sam should do this year.
You talk about minutes, and Mom Daddy 86 is kind of going on that same road. Who do you think will be the X factor from the bench off this year's Kansas team, and how do you think Garrett, Cunliffe, and Preston will adjust and help this squad?
I think it depends on – my feeling is I believe that Coach Self will not stay loyal, but I expect him to go with the seniors. I mean, like, obviously Devontae is going to start. I think Malik's going to start. And then you throw in Svi. That's just my – I mean, Svi or LeGerald, I would just – Svi's a senior. He had the starting spot last year. I expect that to be the same. Then, you know, you throw in – my guess is right now on whatever today is, June 15th, the two guys down low will be Preston and Azubuike. So there you've got, obviously, LeGerald Vick off the bench who's going to have to – you know, he's going to have to play at a high level. They're going to need him to be consistent, not – five good games, six bad, or whatever it may be. I mean, they need him to be consistent. They're going to need a guy like Mitch Lightfoot, who really played well yesterday. I love, you know, he's added some size or some weight and some strength. You know, he hit some threes, was very active around the basket. He's never going to be a banger, but he's going to be able to guy that can stretch the court. You know, then you've got Christian Garrett, a guy that could potentially spell, you know, any one of those backcourt guys. You've got Jack Whitman, who could come in and provide you with some, you know, some size down low. So off the top of my head, and Sam Cunliffe, I mean, that's another guy, obviously, that can stretch the defense. So, I mean, off the top of my head, I would say, you know, obviously guys like LeGerald, you know, Mitch, and, you know, certainly Sam.
Okay. Rock Chalk Jacob wants to know, is there a new Wiggins or Jackson type player in the next two classes that KU has a shot at, guys like Bagley, etc.? And what he means is rankings and hype wise. He clarified.
I think Bagley's the guy. I mean, he's all world, all class, all everything. He's got the size, the strength. To me, Wiggins, you know, when you got a guy like Wiggins or like Jackson who have the ball in their hands a lot of the time, I mean, those guys to me are just instant impact, can make plays right from the, bring the ball up the court, pop around screens, get to the basket. Bagley obviously isn't going to have the ball in his hands as much, but still, I mean, you're talking about a guy that's going to step in Kentucky, Kansas, Duke, North Carolina, Louisville, wherever he wants to go. Hell, he could go right now to the NBA and probably be the top pick. So, I mean, as far as impact, as far as hype, all that stuff, he's your guy. I mean, I think, you know, Romeo Langford could be that guy in Zion Williamson. But for me, kind of the cream of the crop guy, the guy that is going to garner a lot of attention, a guy that is going to make a huge splash, a guy that's probably not going to have many ups and downs, mostly ups his 1 year of college, I'm certainly going to be Marvin Bagley. I mean, I liken it like this year, I think that guy will be Michael Porter. I mean, to me, he's got the size and The basketball IQ, I don't know what type of impact he's going to have at Missouri, but I expect him to have a huge, huge, huge year. A guy that's going to flourish at Missouri, going to be playing the NBA. And then, you know, I would compare, obviously, different players, different sizes. But for next year, that guy is certainly Marvin Bagley.
Okay. Last one now is from Knee Jerk. He wants to know how you feel about the class of 2018 recruiting so far.
Well, I mean, obviously they're waiting for that one guy. I mean, the thing that I would like to see this year is I would love to see the class wrapped up in the early signing period. I mean, obviously when you go into the spring, it puts a lot of pressure on you. Kind of have to wait a little bit because you're going to try to figure out what guys are going pro, what guys are coming back, what guys are going to test, what guys may test. I'll say this. They are involved with as many top-notch players as they can be. I mean, they're in on all the top guys. They continue to do everything they can. They sit courtside for all the games. They're on the road, making contact when they can. I'm going and checking these guys out. They're right there with all the main guys. The thing is when these kids start trimming lists in July, August, September, and start planning visits, then you're going to know. I mean, right now it's just, hey, really, I mean, a lot of these guys have 10, 12, 15, 17, 20 schools. And a few months from now, when they start narrowing things down, start planning visits, start scheduling in-home visits, then you'll know. But right now, they're in the game. And as Coach Self always says, before anything else, you got to be in the game. And Kansas is certainly in the game for most of the top guys in this class.
That is phenomenal inside information that you can only get one place. That's Shea Wildebor. Thank you, Shay, for everything. This edition of the Jayhawk Slant podcast has been a huge one. It was good to get back in the studio to start them up again. Shout out to David Beatty and Jonathan Lilahea for joining us as well. Kirby brought us all the information from the football side, all the heat from the recruiting trail as the Jayhawks get ready to kick off the season here in, gosh, I believe we're now under 90 days. So we will keep you posted as things continue to develop as we move towards the start of football season, as well as when the next podcast will be ready for you. In the meantime, this is Randy Withers. Thank you for joining us, the latest edition of the Jayhawk Slant podcast. We'll talk to you again soon.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.